This is a production of Cornell University.
EA meeting, September 1st, 2010.
Thanks. There you go. Morning, thanks. Yes, morning, as I like to say. I'd like to call this afternoon's meeting of the Employee Assembly to order. It is 12:18. So first thing, I'd like, again, to go around the room, and if everybody can share something about what's been going on in their lives for the past 2 weeks, briefly, that would be great. I will start and say that classes are in session. It's busy, but we are plugging along down at the Short Center, and the sun is shining, so I can't complain. Oh, Kappa.
If
you don't have anything, you can pass. If you want to put you on the spot.
Yeah, well, I've been off for the summer, and so I am here. And now I'm back to my normal schedule of work. And not really normal, but today, no. I'll be working from today. So, yeah, but generally. And I've been pretty busy. I had a nice summer from China.
I'm transitioning from one job to another, and they're trying to squeeze everything they possibly can out of me before I leave. So I'm really busy, and I promise I will be a better communications chair person once I settle down a little bit. And I water ski for the first time in my life yesterday. Ooh. At the age of 44. So,
And I'll say, I can't believe you're 44. All right,
Thank you.
We have a lot of resources in our office that I hope you folks know you can always access. We have a column in the paper every other week. We have our Cornell Cast show that, you know, we've all been on. I produce a weekly radio show on issues related to equity and sustainability. So if you ever have any ideas for any of that stuff, let me know. And then on a personal front, my 15-year-old son has just really turned into a big mega biker this summer and is getting ready for the age rides. So it's a 100-mile scooter on the lake, and it's, I'm glad he can do it.
Harvest time at our house, so I spent the last couple of weekends canning tomatoes off. And they're, I'm a victim of that. and also, there's a lot of fresh produce in the house, so it's always wonderful. I love our potatoes. There's nothing like mashed potatoes straight from the garden. So that's what we're doing at home, a lot of harvesting.
I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but AAP had an architecture like studio annex down on ST Street near Ithaca Bakery. And it finally closed because it served very few architecture students, but cost AAP a lot of money to keep it up and running, between renting space and shuttles. It was a nightmare. So it's finally closed, and the IT person that was supporting down there is now working for me. Because she just gets to cover all the stuff that I just never have time to get to, and it's been really nice because obviously now the classes are starting again. The worst thing was this summer. But there's hope, I guess.
So start of school year has been great, except for the really sad news that the student death on Sunday. I knew this student, and then my roommate was also his college associate, so they've been really close because we just became roommates dealing with all of that, and then the students remembering him and all the memorials. But I look forward to the weekend because it's Labor Day weekend, and that means great sales.
Great. The wellness program has suddenly become very busy with programming that started, initiatives that started, and phone calls coming from other universities asking us about our program. Very exciting. One other work-related item is that I have a nutrition intern, Melissa Sapera, who is a graduate student, and not only is she spending 30 hours a week in the wellness program, but we're sharing an office. So that's new for me and wonderful. And on the home front, just that my son Jacob this summer also discovered biking, and so I might need to connect with you because he's 15.
Great.
Okay.
Work front, CALS is actually starting an energy conservation project that's going to launch the week of September 24th, and it involves five buildings and about 748 people, so it's pretty exciting to see how that'll turn out. Home-wise, I coach a roller derby team in Portland that started about 3.5 months ago, and we have our first game this weekend in Watertown.
What's the name of the team?
Crown City Rollers.
Go Crown City.
Well, work-wise, I'm helping with the CALS initiative, conservation initiative, it's a fun project to be on. And I'm really happy to say all my summer events are done, because I've been packing, moving, going all summer with Cornell events. And on the home front, I'm supposed to be leaving first thing tomorrow morning to Virginia Beach, but I think Earl is getting in my way.
Work-wise, we are still in the middle of reorganization within Student and Economic Services, so it remains unstable and confusing. I've had plenty to do, though, so I guess that's in my favor. Home-wise, my husband and I will be hosting an exchange student starting on Saturday from Germany, a high school student. And so we're trying to figure out what it means to be high school student parents. By asking everybody who's doing it now for help.
A lot of miles on your car.
A lot of miles, yeah. And she wants to get involved in sports, which isn't apparently easy if you aren't already here 2 weeks early to get going, so trying to sort that out. Right. Getting the room ready and, you know, the house and all that.
Good for you guys.
She's going through the end of January.
Wow.
She'll be a junior at the high school. At the high.
It'd be a good experience for you.
Hopefully it will.
Not too much. The assemblies are in full swing this week. Everyone's having meetings, so we're busy. And no movement on my house yet. Maybe next time. It's all the lawyers and bankers doing their thing.
Thank you. Does anyone have any late additions to add to today's agenda? Okay, then we'll start off right into the business of the day, which is the bridge barrier resolution that Gary so kindly put together for us back in June.
This spring, yeah.
And there was some support for it via email, but we could not vote via email formally. So I wanted to take some time today to discuss the resolution, to let everyone know that myself, Gary, and others have reached out to student assemblies, the university assembly, and shared this with them. And they're all looking at their plans as well. So, Gary, I don't know if you want to jump in and talk about why you put it together. And
well, you know, last spring seems so far ago, doesn't it?
Yes,
I mean, just
does.
Like when you think about last fall when we were dealing with H1N1. But I just think that this is a situation where any words of support from the staff could have some positive impact on this issue that, you know, there's no experts on it. I mean, people are learning about this stuff as we go along, and I just think it was a good, it kind of made us look like we were aware of what was going on, not just on campus, but in the surrounding community. So, I thought it was a good thing to do, and I'm hoping that in the future we can be more proactive on similar issues.
And I think another great thing is that there was a vote by the Common Council on that, which Leslie went through the summer and shared this resolution with them and the support that we've garnered for it. And I think that helped further support the university's cause in putting up the temporary barriers and Peggy, I know, mentioned on Friday that we'll be working towards permanent solutions that will be even nicer than what's up there now, but there will eventually be some permanent options. So does anyone want to throw out anything, thoughts, questions?
All right, I'll make a motion that we formally pass the resolution.
I second the motion.
All in favor? Any opposed? Abstain? I didn't get anything from anyone who's not here today.
I didn't either.
Great. Passes. All right, moving right along. Report from the chair. We had the leadership breakfast this past Friday with Tommy Bruce, and he spent some time just talking with us about, with all the assemblies, about what our hopes are for the year, what we would want help with. He was very generous. Catherine asked a question about communicating to employees and then getting information back, and he was very open to sitting down and talking with us about that and how we can compete with communication plans. So I think we'll look to do that with him sometime in the very near future. We will be having Elmira coming to the next meeting. At the next meeting, and we will be looking for someone else. We have a third floating seat left, and I always attend, but there's a third floating seat, so if anybody is particularly interested in joining us for the next meeting Elmira, she's going to be talking about university budget.
And it's on the morning of the 24th of September at 8:30.
So it's Elmira Mangum. What's her official title? She's the CFO?
Vice President for Institutional Planning.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if anybody's interested, email myself or Leslie and let us know, and we'll add you to that list. We also met, Beth and Leslie and I met with Mary yesterday. But we met with Mary and talked about what her expectations were of us, what our expectations for ourselves were, our goal to increase and expand the EA, and she is very excited in us moving that forward, looking to see where we go with that. And she feels now more than ever that the EA has to stand on its own two feet, and that we really need to be a support for the staff, and that central administration there is, because of everything going on, there's feelings of mistrust, and that we need to be that trusting group for employees. So looking forward to moving forward with that, figuring out the message that we want to send. We talked about having conversations possibly with different deans and different colleges to find out more about what's going on in the unit and starting to build that chain with them.
The other thing that I wrote down, and it was probably because I felt like it applied to me, not necessarily because it was a big issue, but we talked a lot about how the university is going to be moving forward in the future, and how we're not expecting to go into another period of growth. And so that requires us to look at ourselves differently in terms of our systems, our job structures, the way the jobs are defined, and also our reward structures. So specifically, they're talking about looking at the banding that we currently have, where essentially people are rewarded for supervision. So the higher up you go in the band, you have to be supervising, which does not reward people who have more individual jobs that aren't supervision related but are expertise related. And Linda, you could probably speak more about this than I can, but looking at creating another a parallel banding system that would equally reward people with expertise who are contributing, and not simply rewarding people for their supervisory role.
And a lot of that, I think, came from the Bain study. She was going back to that and how Cornell has so many spans and layers, and they're looking at having a lot more individual contributors as opposed to supervisors, and really trying to get away from a micromanaging type of situation, but having people really have goals and achievables and how we measure them, and having people live up to expectation as opposed to just kind of coast along.
This would be a good thing for us to get involved in and be able to explain things, because I just went through a job transition and I looked at my university title, which I never looked at before, you know, just there, I think. And it's like, in what it was, and I looked at what the title represented, it's nothing what I do.
Right.
But that was my official university title that I just inherited and been there forever. And, you know, I think most folks just aren't aware of stuff like that. And they're sort of like trusting, you know, which is good, I guess. But this would be like a good role for the EA to be able to help them and lead with.
Well, and that issue of trust was actually where Mary started our discussion. Because she talked about how there has been historically loyalty and trust among employees for their employer, and how that has really shifted significantly in the last decade. And that's generous. It's probably been more recent than that. But how that speaks to the need for the employee assembly to be more active, so that employees feel like they have somewhere where there's a voice, because it's not a relationship with the administration, so to speak, or the employer, that they have those strong feelings anymore.
Well, it's interesting too, because in organizational development they have leadership programs that even if you're nominated by a junior director, if you're at a certain band level, you have to protest or, you know, appeal to get into that program title.
And she also talked about us trying to seek out the ICO office, right? Which she didn't know what it stood for, but Leslie did.
Well, I got it close. The internal, it's not compliance.
It's the office run by Paul.
It used to be run by Paul Streeter. It was created after all the changes started.
The changes happened.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so its job is to implement the changes that were recommended by Dane and the strategic plan and stuff. Mm-hmm.
And she was saying that there's a lot of confusion about what those changes are. Not everybody knows. And we were talking about how we could encourage them to create some sort of executive summary or even, you know, bullet points of what these changes mean to the staff.
Great.
So she encouraged us to reach out to them and talk about that. So it's something else we'll look to doing. And maybe either bring them into the EA and talk, or see if we can get some statement from them.
Did anything come up about the cover of the Cornell Sun and James Mingle, the Salary Compensation Committee? Okay. There was something in the Sun, and I think that they got hold of it because of a federal document that had been filed, but it was about a bonus. And I heard a lot of rumblings, at least in my area, about that, because during the year.
One of the things that she did say is going to hit the popular press soon is a book. I don't remember what the name of this book was.
Number 12 was in the title. It's about 12 colleges across the country, elite colleges.
That, I guess the bottom line, you don't get as much bang for your buck if you go there as a student. Cornell is one of those schools that they have listed. So, you know, and she said a lot of it isn't, you know, well-researched, but, you know, this is going to come out, and, you know, that administratively the universities and many universities are being scrutinized more for their overhead. So, you know, she was putting that book out there a little bit. And I think that was the gist of our discussion. I don't remember if there was...
Only going back to what I was saying before about how the university is not going to be in a growth mode, that the focus really is going to be on hiring excellent faculty. And we need to find, we as staff and human resources as human resources, need to find a way to talk about our work as a support function and have that be a positive way of talking about the work that we do as staff. It can be, support can be perceived as less than. So when that language gets used, people can get touchy. So we may be invited to help develop some ways to talk about our work differently, so that we are still valued employees, but we recognize that in order for Cornell to continue to strengthen itself, it's through hiring excellent faculty.
And the one other thing that she said is with staff having a lot of work on their plate now, that they're really looking for new tools to implement so that staff have the resources that they need to do the work that they need to do without too much stress and overwork. I think that was it. So if everybody has, I don't know if anybody's had an opportunity to look at their minutes. Does anybody have any changes, additions, amendments to the minutes?
I've noticed that on page 3, under the open forum, there's a comment that N. LaSalle, several N. LaSalle comments attributed to him, but he's not listed as a member.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other changes or notes? Do I have a motion to approve the minutes with the change?
A second. Thank you.
Hi.
Hi. It's okay to come late. I'm sorry.
It's fine.
Come. So you're better late than now, right?
Yeah. Definitely.
Great. The minutes are approved. The next thing we have is committee reports. And Gemma is going to talk about the budget today.
We met at the executive committee and went over a first draft of the budget, and then we thought that it would be great to go over it with the team here, with everybody go over it. As I got into Y Financial, we really aren't spending our budget at all. So I think we only spent a little over $4,000 last year out of the $9,400 that were allowed. So it goes back into the disclaimer and how the money goes back. It goes back, sorry.
Well, it comes out of our office's administrative budget. And it goes back at the end of the year, and it goes all the way up to the division and goes to get rebudgeted for the next year. I think part of the reason that the spending has gone down so much is now that we've switched to a completely online election that saves $3,500 a year by itself. So, you know, maybe a long-term question would be, is there something the EA needs to be doing that it hasn't been able to do in the past because it hasn't had that money, or should the budget just be smaller?
Right.
And I think we talked about that a little bit and had some thoughts that we wanted to stick around with the group here.
This is the budget that's kind of been in place for the last, I don't know how many years, but the same kind of the pages, the same thing, just been distributed. So now's our chance to move it around if you'd like. What I highlighted in red was some things that definitely need to be moved around. There used to be a page just for the emergency grant fund, as you'll see on the Employee Assembly General page. We're not doing that anymore. So that's $350 that could be placed someplace else if someone, one of the committees thinks they need it. So the Employee Assembly General is just our food for the meetings, which I think we all appreciate. We can get lunch here. And then alternative locations for assembly meetings, that's something that we have not had to use at all. So that's another really questionable item. If anybody wants to stop and ask any questions that we're going through, or we'll go to the next page. Communications committee, you. I didn't know you had a chance to answer that, sorry.
Yeah, no. It seems fine. What's here? So.
We haven't bought promotional items in quite a while, so if someone wants to, if you think that we need to take away or something new and different to get our word out.
Mm-hmm. I've been contacted by the. I don't even know. I think it was Cheryl McGraw from TRC. She wants us to really step up and take a role in some of these employee events, like employee celebration day and stuff. We should definitely have some takeaways.
Okay. That'd be great.
For that, I don't know if able to get one up and running in time for the fall. I'll have to look into it, and we'll have to decide what we want, what we think would be a good takeaway.
And I know that Tanya had worked really hard to just spend that $1,000 in her budget for the president's dress last year, so maybe that could be helping a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And spend more in that category if you need. There's money in the budget, so mm-hmm. if you need to do something special or something different for that, I think that we could definitely sweep that in. Staff recognition and boards, we've done 5-4 kids a year anymore, you know, before. I'm not sure how much the paid cost.
Well, the kids are a little more now, aren't they?
More money than they were before.
It used to be $50, now they're about $100.
Whoa, for one cake?
Wow.
Well, it's the cake, it's delivery, it's everything that comes with it.
Wow.
So, and it's, they're still the cheapest. I've called Wegmans another one. So $89 is the most, you know. Cost money. A big cake with delivery.
And we're doing 2 awards?
Last year we ended up doing 2 awards. I think if we can get people a little more interested in submitting for the awards, we can get back. I would love for us to get back to 4, but we don't have a whole lot of submission. So that's something we need to work on a little bit. And then the other thing is the luncheon. We haven't done that, and I was chair of that committee last year, and I'm doing that again this year, and we haven't done anything with that, but we talked around in the executive committee this idea of doing some sort of luncheon or some sort of event that wasn't just, the way that this is set up now is for just us to bring a friend and a supervisor to a lunch, but maybe looking at changing that and expanding it to inviting some other people on campus who have been doing, you know, going above and beyond or doing whatever, having a larger celebration. So that's something that we're going to talk about.
Quick thought, maybe we could improve our little kudos section. Anybody that has nominated or been awarded a kudos could go to the kudos mm-hmm. board.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's
so that's like an incentive for people to send in things. Of course.
We have one so far.
Well, right. I mean, yeah. So we have to see how that. I don't think we're going to get so many data that we have to.
But just a thought about making it a little more inclusive to the campus community as opposed to just this group. And since we haven't done it, I don't know if you've done it in recent years.
The last year that this lunch actually happened was the year before I came. So 2005, 2006. So.
And so it's supposed to be for EA employees, EA members and their supervisors to come as an appreciation for letting staff be a part of EA and all the time commitments and that sort of thing. Does anyone have any thoughts on that either way? Do you think it should be an EA for their, you know, for us to invite our supervisors as an appreciation, or do you think it should be more campus?
I think they're both kind of nice.
So do we look for a way, as we're looking at our budget and we're not spending our budget, do we look for a way to do both of those things?
Well, I'm only thinking that only because, I mean, we got some serious flack for being on EA this past year, Tanya and I and Jim.
Timeline?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I know other people struggle with that, so maybe if the supervisors were invited and there was some more awareness about what we do, or somebody spoke, like Mary spoke or something, you know, I don't know.
That's a good idea. Mm-hmm.
So we'll look at that. So that may be
another idea, and I don't know that we need gifts.
Right.
Get rid of the gift category. I'm sure if we pay more than $300 now.
Yeah.
So
that's not even said over.
If we do end up doing that, though, I like your idea of Mary somehow validating it, that maybe it's a letter from Mary to our supervisors thanking them for allowing us.
Right, it could be as simple as that.
I mean, if we don't end up doing that, I like that idea, though.
She's all. Someone said she would be willing to do that.
She'd be willing to do
if
it.
You write her a letter, she's happy to send it.
So
we'll put that on our next meeting with her to have some draft that she can look at and get out to.
Yeah, I mean, I think the larger issue is to have her take the monitorship with a broader outreach to deans, directors, and department heads, and just say, encouraging folks to get their staff involved in campus life, and now more than ever this is important. And so it gets just beyond like whoever our bosses are, but just sort of an edict from the Vice President of Human Resources, this is important. And, you know, don't be giving anybody crap because they want to help the campus.
Maybe we could come up with a more elegant word.
The words.
I'm sorry to introduce myself. I'm Jim Blair, and I'm one of the four employee assembly reps to the university assembly. If anybody is getting flack, I mean, this is part of the governance structure, part of the formal government oversight structure of the university to help the president. Nobody should get flack for that. And I understand there's the, oh my God, another meeting, how much time do you spend on this kind of stuff. But if anybody feels that there's any pressure whatsoever to not be involved in the appropriate assemblies or the governance structures of the university, that is wrong. And you know, barring some kind of resolution, I mean, locally, we start working at the lowest level, let me know, and we'll make sure that President Scorton signs something out reaffirming this role and that he expects people to serve as part of being part of this community.
Thank you.
Well, state is awesome.
Perhaps part of the problem was with the three of you from the same department.
Yeah, and that could have been it, but.
You know, sometimes you're not going to get rid of it all, but if there's any kind of campus-wide feeling that this is frowned upon or whatever, then, I mean.
I think it's tough, especially in the last 3 years when people are afraid they're going to lose their jobs, and then it's implied that you must not have enough to do, so perhaps your position's not needed.
Okay.
Because you're involved in government.
My unit has the exact opposite view of it, I guess, thankfully. I guess I can understand where that misperception would be out there, and that does mean, if that's a widespread view, that's for you to tell me, I would be glad to take it forward and see what the other constituents say. But I can tell you from last year's committee, they've had very little tolerance and would be quick to move to have Mary or others send out appropriate letters, stifling that kind of attitude, because we all need to work through this together. Tough times is when it's most valuable. Mm-hmm. And so honestly, yeah, I mean, if it's one unit, I you know, that's, we're never going to be perfect, but
right.
if you believe there's a consensus, Madam Chair, let me know, and I will ensure that it is formally brought to the University Assembly.
Well, let's take a little straw poll and just see if anyone feels like conflicted about being on the Employee Assembly or feel like they're not being supported by their supervisor.
Well, we need to think about more people coming on board, too.
Right. Let's take a straw poll right here now and see if anyone feels like that or has felt like that. So if anyone has...
We've heard from Leslie and I, so...
Peppa?
I'm not following anything. I don't know what's going on.
Okay. So
do you
feel like you're supported by your supervisor and encouraged to be on the employee assembly? Or do they think it's a hassle for them and they don't want you to go?
Yeah, for me, I had to change the schedule. I usually work from 10 to 2, but today I'll be working from 2 to 6. So that way I don't get paid for the meeting that I'm attending right now. So because he said that
yeah, no, that's good feedback.
Yeah, he said that I'm gonna need it there, you know, during the busiest time. It's a busy time for in the morning at my unit. So.
Anybody else want to weigh in?
Do you have to change your shifts in order to be on the team?
And she's not getting paid to be.
Right, yeah, you should know. Right. You were to the same team.
Right, but I'm not hourly, so I don't have the same restrictions.
Right. I mean, why I'm saying that is because you're on the management.
Right, right.
The vice president.
What unit are you in, Central? You in Trillium?
Yeah, I'm Trillium. We call.
Mary, did you have?
Just from a logistical perspective, I think it sounds like a great idea to have, and maybe it could be a strictly positive message coming from the presidency, each member's supervisor saying thank you for allowing this person. person who served on the assembly and it's important to me for these reasons, and wanted to let you know personally that I recognize what you're doing. To do that, we would need to know who everybody's supervisor was and where the best place would be to direct that letter.
Can we finish this other question?
State that you should show the employee your full support for being a member of the employee assembly as well.
Does everyone else feel supported by their supervisor as far as being on here?
I have a new supervisor. I was just given a quiet promotion.
Congratulations.
But I've been pulled in two directions now, so I'm really busy.
Right.
Which is why I didn't make the last meeting at the Schwartz Center. And I really wanted to go. So I've never even been there. I really wanted to go to that one in particular. But I was told, well, we really need you at the staff meeting because the assistant director's going to be there to talk about some of these changes. So I guess I kind of felt guilted into going to the staff meeting, but for the most part, my previous supervisor was very supportive and suggested I join. My new supervisor, I don't know if he knows I'm a member yet, so I don't. I think that can happen sometimes on a per meeting basis, you know, where.
It wouldn't be a bad idea, though, to have some sort of, at this point where we're trying to, like Catherine said, where we're trying to increase membership, to have an overarching statement that
it's
important. Yeah.
That's right, it's important.
Curtis, do you have something you want to
say? Yeah, I had a question. So are non-staff not compensated for being in part? Like, is this not considered part of work?
I would guess it's if we have anyone else. So are you paid for while you're here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I
think there are different situations. Some of you work shift work, but you know that doesn't feel right. I'll be honest. When you said that, it doesn't feel right that I know I'm getting paid and you're not. So contributing your time.
Right.
Do you consider a portion of this meeting time your lunch?
Yes.
So it's not you're not paid for the whole, so you're paid for half hour of it.
I follow my course.
Yeah.
If we didn't have food here, I would eat lunch before or after this time.
But would you eat at your desk or would you take a lunch?
That would be at my desk and that's still my lunch time. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to work.
Just curious.
I think that this is spelled out in the policy, but I don't remember what it says. For those who don't know me, I'm used to know our powers to point out chronic delays in human resources. So I forgot everything.
I think any volunteer position is at the discretion of your supervisor. Mm-hmm. Same with wellness and any other program afforded to us. But I think there's this, you know, as the staff gets smaller and the work gets, you know, piled on a little bit more, could it be harder for those supervisors to say, oh yeah, go. So we need to show the positiveness and the importance of participating. And I'll work to draft something that we can put in front of Mary and David, and I'll send it out to everyone for comments and feedback.
Well, maybe there's also is a question or a conversation that we need to hold when we think about expanding the board, because we don't want a board that just completely full of exempt staff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because I mean, a lot of the issues that are going on in the division affect more of the non-exempt staff. Mm-hmm. They're not. I mean, because I have a supervisor, she doesn't care what I do, as long as my job is done. I mean, and I mean, I don't think it's fair, you know, necessarily. So maybe, I mean, these might be conversations, or we might have to reallocate our budget. Maybe that might be for non-exempt staff to be on board. Here's the difference in their salary for that hour time, because I mean, when I was in school, we were paid to be a part of student assembly, because students shouldn't have to choose between doing a work study job and being a part of the governing committee. And I think it's the same way here. People shouldn't have to choose between, you know, being a part of the community and being a decision maker, you know, and feeding their family.
Well, we'll make this an agenda priority for our next meeting with Mary. So mm-hmm. I'll be soliciting.
What? For years and years?
Yeah. So we'll make this a priority for conversation with her, since it seems like it's an issue that touches many people and will be a problem in the future.
We need you to be Norma Ray. Okay, can you just dab?
Okay. All right, I'll get my sign.
One of the technologies that I support is web conferencing, and that could be something we could consider for folks who maybe can't be here, who could maybe multitask and join through web conference or phone bridge or both. And that might be something we could eventually utilize to engage more people.
Yep.
I do that when I fly.
Yeah, and most people, exactly, most people just simply can't travel.
If my body's at my desk, though, I'm at the mercy of my. It doesn't matter.
I think we need a true, full solution to the problem. I mean, I think we can come up with a lot of band-aids to make it work, but I think it needs to start at the top, and it needs to get all the way down to the bottom, not just kind of stay. Because I know, you know, Mary and President Scorton and a whole lot of people at the top support it, but when you get down into the units is where you see the conflict. So encourage that getting down, that message getting down. We really got off budget topic. So.
That's right. This is great because we're all here and we brought this up. We added recognition cards. Was that an executive committee? Did everybody see the little card?
We talked about it.
Another that a year.
Great. Not really have a price for that, but I think we should jump on that.
Mm-hmm.
Internal operations. Summer retreat. I have no idea if the $600 is really what it costs.
I don't think so. I can look and see.
Yeah,
what
I didn't see anything hit yet on the budget other than the bus food.
Yeah, the bus and the food.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we'll be going to Geneva for the spring retreat. So you might need more than $600 for a bus on that one. So that hasn't been done in a while. I think everybody drove their own cars last year. It's been like 3 years.
Yeah.
You all drove your own cars?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who's been to Geneva, Cornell, and this table? It's a great place.
Mm-hmm. We'll entertain you in the spring. One takes some tour.
Great.
Employee Education Committee, the seed event. I know that Steely didn't spend any on it last year, but it covered itself. The event. We talked about education incentives. Jump in, that was your idea?
Yeah, one of the things, and I think we touched on it at our last EA meeting, was this idea of maybe providing some financial support for people who wanted to take a class other than a regular for credit class here on campus, but there are workshops and things, and if units can't support them, maybe offering some sort of scholarship. And I know that has a whole lot of discussion around it, but you know, one of the things that we've been touching on is that we need to retrain our workforce. There's new tools, and I think Mary even touched on that yesterday. Did we there talk about that, about how they want to train people to be stronger contributors? So that may be something that we can help out with.
How is that different from, say, extramural studies?
Well, right now, for example, if I wanted to go take a class in English, I could go and do extramural study and take free credits and take the class. But if I wanted to, say, go to a workshop on web design or something, there's a fee associated with that. Say there's $100-something. And my unit may say, well, we don't want to pay for that because you don't do that here.
Yeah.
And I may say, I can't afford to do that. So there may be something to just support that kind of growth for employees. And maybe we can work with HR on
that. Do you know if there's a stipulation on how we spend this money? Like, is there, can we do something like that with the money that's given? Support staff.
It seems kind of far from the communications function of the assembly, but that's more program. So it seems like the sort of thing that, you know, you've talked about in the context. Education committee and maybe exploring changing the way Cornell does education benefit rather than trying to repurpose the budget, which is already quite small. You wouldn't be able to provide a lot of assistance there, and also that wasn't appropriated for that purpose in the first place.
So just, you know, a question is something that, you know, I've said to Celia that it would be interested in investigating in education, because I think that that is a huge component for a lot of staff out there who really aren't looking for a whole other degree, but are looking for some real skills building training. Maybe they can look at that. Maybe it's not a financial support from us, but just more of a, we think this is important to employees.
I think that's another thing where it's not necessarily money that's the issue, but time. Mm-hmm.
Right. All right. Executive committee. I don't believe that this budget, anything has been spent for years out of this section. Printing new member notebooks, minutes. Do you, does that seem
no longer do minutes, or no longer do notebooks, I used to spend money on binders and printing and that sort of thing. Yeah, we haven't, not that I know of, any of that money at once.
So maybe we can come up with something that benefits staff out of that budget. Unplanned events, maybe we'll come up with a nice little event. Elections committee, there's quite a bit of money in this one. More mailing on elections. Maybe this group can come up with some creative ideas, but I think perhaps we'll need it when we're trying to enlarge AEA. So.
Just I think in terms of probably, you know, getting the word out, flyers and that sort of thing, not improving the election process.
Right. Yeah.
I kind of fall on our communication, although.
We're giving it all to you, Leslie.
Okay. Anybody have any questions on the budget? So we really didn't change anything in the discussion here. But perhaps as the year goes on, we'll revisit this quarterly. Does that sound fair?
Sounds good. Maybe some of the budget could use for a piece of technology that could get us communicated better. And I'm just thinking of web cameras or, you know, something like that, to be able to connect with people who can't physically be here, as an example.
The web conferencing is the cheapest, I guess, in terms of that sort of collaborative technology.
So, just in case anything new is on the horizon, it's a possible option for
Do you think even that would be open to the water community? That anyone who would want to attend the meeting could come here?
That's another great idea.
That'd be cool.
If you want an open forum, would be very cool.
It's a good idea.
We could definitely be leveraged that way, and there's a lot of different options and features for that tool that could be utilized.
Good idea.
Through polling and discussion notes and chat. I could do a demo sometime.
So I think that's great. I think that could be a great use of funds. I think if we can have people just, I know we just put this out here now and people haven't had time to mull it. So if people can take a look at the budget, if you have any suggestions, changes, tweaks, if you could get those to Gemma next week, we can bring it back at our next EA meeting just with any changes and then do a vote on approving budget. Does that seem good for everyone? Great.
Nice job with this demo.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And one other thing we should say about the receipt, you want things to go?
Yes, if you do have a receipt, please send it to me and I'll code it and then I'll get it right up to or someone in your group to write the receipt.
Me.
Too. Okay.
So they can keep track of.
Because I'm going to start, like when we meet quarterly, I'll have a list of what we spent on other towns, so I'll have it.
I am wondering though what you mean about people spending money,
like for the president's address, using her own P card to buy something.
But overall, I should probably be the one to spend money. It should be put on my P card,
okay.
And we should allocate the money from our office. Because it's a nightmare to have Curtis's account number used for something, and then we're trying to reimburse or just it's just gonna be
okay. This is great to know.
So what do you do to spend for the most part, and then can you
give
the
copy
some sort of like.
Then the waiting circuit. Okay. And then just tapping it.
Yes, absolutely.
Yep.
Good. Any old business?
It came up, I think you talked about doing a possible resolution just when communication affecting more than 20 employees, that we're having some more formal process. A couple people actually emailed about the parking. And how I addressed it with the staff members, the PA has already discussed it. It did come up. I don't
kind of want to wrap that back around and see if we might look at that or take the next step. I don't know if that can fix what happened with that, but maybe working with Helen to see to that department how interchange can communicate better.
I think we can do that. Do you want to draft up something? Yes. And I think it could be more of a general resolution of if there's something overarching really affecting the university, and use that as an example. Can we get a heads up at the front end and maybe be able to gather input from employees? And that's something that, again, you know, if we have a little notice as they're starting to talk about it, we can go out and put feelers out and bring that information as opposed to
hold it as a collaborative partner and not so much that defensive.
Anyone else have any thoughts on that?
I think it's awesome. It might help people at least feel like they have someone to say, or at least a voice to be heard. You know, 30 people are losing their parking, you just don't have to park here today.
Right.
There's no, that's just it, it's awful.
Right.
That's why there's no trust. And I think we should have a voice. Now we represent the staff, and if there's a decision that affects more than 20 people, that's a, you know, I mean, maybe that's not a big enough number, but that's a lot of people, 20 staff members, you know.
Right, but I think that would just in that number, that would be asking us to weigh in or be involved in almost anything. That, I mean, Department of Theater, Film, and Dance affected more than 20 people. The, you know, parking, it's just a lot. So maybe if it's something that's university-wide, you know, that just doesn't impact one spot.
One of the real upsides of an expanded assembly is just going to be more connections, more knowledge at the table. So if someone's there from transportation and mail services, you know, we could say, hey, can you get us some information on that? Can you connect that? I mean, we're just going to be better connected, more resources.
Mm-hmm. And there is the Transportation Advisory Committee, and maybe I can reach out to them just to say that, you know, this happened, and they should have come back to us. Since we have employees on the Transportation Advisory Committee, they should have then reported back to us if the system really worked. They would have come back, and we would have known about it, but that connection is not being made right now. So I'll try and reach out to them and just say, would have been great to have a heads up.
I have a clarification question because I just don't know the answer. Once we pass a resolution and it gets distributed up the chain, how else is it publicized? So how do people, so if we were to pass this resolution that you're talking about, Catherine, then what happens?
I was thinking about distribution first. Maybe I can write the resolution, but who exactly is that oriented to that marketing to? University-wide, it almost seems like it would come from the communications office, the university communications office. Maybe it would be something that would be published in the public. Or
Nancy, you want to weigh in on this?
Two ways. One, you have the DA newsletter model. And the second, which is offering, you normally have a column there.
But if we wanted to make sure something got in the Chronicle or Pop, for instance, what's your advice on how to do that?
Looking through, well, Pop is easy because you already have that connection. Chronicle, I would think maybe either Tom Bruce or Mike to start with. And then I would come down through, and they'd probably ask me to work with you to write it, because that's the way to do that.
Could we go to you first, and then have it go up?
Yeah, we can do it that way.
Thank you.
I think one of the other acts we can make is that it go to the dean, director, and department head list, so that they know that we're making an act to want that information.
Well, right, like the bridge barrier. That gets approved by President Scorton. Does anybody know about it?
Right. That's sort of what I was trying to get
right.
at. For any
I always get emails from him. Like whenever there's university assembly or
that's what I thought.
Whenever
I thought
they
we got an email.
I always get an email. Like
yeah,
all
but
the correspondence
isn't that limited to people who are on assemblies?
Probably. It sounds like you're talking about the actions list, which you would receive as a executive vice chair. That only goes to the leadership of the assemblies when an assembly transmits a resolution to the president.
So, and then does that go anywhere after the president's office?
For to be publicized?
Yeah. Just in the sense of...
Not automatically, no.
So how do we move something? So if we make it, if we make an ask to the president saying that we want to have some pre-information on something that's happening so that we can go back and ask employees their thoughts, their feelings, whatever, just using the transportation issue. How do, say, the people in transportation find out that the president has said, yes, I support this happening? Is that up to us to go and bring it to resolution, bring the resolution to transportation, or is it...
Yes.
Okay. So that will be ours.
Often it's a good practice when you're writing the resolution to include instructions about who should be contacted, so that when the chair receives an approval back from the president or whoever it was sent to, they have some direction in the document telling them what to be next with it.
I think in all likelihood it's close to the president, and the president is going to then be talking with Mary.
It's harder without a concrete example. Mm-hmm. Most likely, if you're talking about the administrative person responsible for that program, that person would be consulted before the president responded on their behalf. So, I'm sure that he would be talking with David Lee first, or Mary would. Or, mm-hmm.
Any other old business? New business, a couple of things. We have a date set for the president's address to staff. That will be November 12th.
Friday.
Yes, Friday, November 12th. It cannot be during staff celebration week this year. His calendar was booked. And it will be down at the Short Center again. And if anybody would like to join me in the planning of that event, let me know. Beth? Noon? It's at noon at the Short Center, and we'll be doing kind of the same. Yes. Yes, I can from the facility. All right. Great. First and I'll be in contact. Yeah, you'll help. Whatever. The president is unable to make any of our our regularly scheduled EA meetings this year. Year or just this semester?
Semester.
This semester. So we have a couple of options. One was suggested by Beth in that she can join us via web conference while he's in New York on November 3rd, so he could phone it in and talk with us. If that's acceptable, we can do that, and we can likely get on the schedule for November 3rd. That's when Mary will be here, so she'll be here. She'll be online.
And that's the week before this.
And that's the week before it's addressed to staff, so it might be a really good time for us to talk with him. Or we can ask him we can find another meeting time with him, and it would be either we would cancel one of our regularly scheduled meetings and meet on a different day and time, or we can just add another meeting to our schedule. So does anybody have any preference, thoughts?
If he's going to be in New York, I support any campus collaboration, so there is a system that I could easily connect to New York and have to join the video conference.
Yeah, that's what we
do. Can we do both? Can we have him on the 3rd via video conference and have an extra meeting with him like later on?
We usually only get him once a semester, so this would be our one. It's just a question.
It's nice to have him in person, but I mean, if it can't work out, then video conference is better than this.
Can we do it morning? Do like an 8 to 9:30, like that.
Can we look at that?
Mm-hmm.
So if we can find a date to do that, and it's on Wednesday, like your normal EA meeting.
Whenever. I mean, I think whenever we could swing it. I mean, I think it's. I hate to think somebody working 60 yards down the hall is going to have to pipe in. Right. But you know, we need to see him in person.
Well, the president won't be with us unless Mary is with him, and so it involves scheduling two executives. And Mary okay to November 3rd in the
right.
So we know that she's available then.
So maybe we can kind
of, if we can open it up to any morning in the whole fall semester, right. I think we can figure something out.
Yeah. How does that, I mean, how does that work with people's schedules?
If we have another meeting in the morning, would people be willing to get up and come here and do that? So why don't we see if we can do that? And if we can't, then we'll go to the November 3rd option, but I'm sure we can find a morning sometime.
Prior to his address on the 12th, preferably.
If we can, if not, we can't. But at any rate, Mary will be with us November 3rd for our regular meeting and December 15th. So I'll be sending out an email asking people for discussion points for her that we have something to talk with her about. The Middle State group wants to come and talk with us about the accreditation process, where they are now, if everybody remembers, or those of you who were here last year. They met with us and kind of went through that, and I just wanted to check in and see if how people felt about that last year. Was it worthwhile to us as a group? Do we want to get more out of it? Do we want to ask them to narrow down and be more specific?
Which committee of the Middle State group?
Provost and
Paul?
No. Oh, yeah. Streeter want to come and give an update on how things are going now. And they want 15 minutes
they want to update
every assembly meeting.
Yeah.
To
okay.
Update the numbers.
I guess that would, I'd be more interested in what the executive say. Because last year I didn't think overall it was that beneficial. Kind of dry. I mean, how it's going to, how it impacts employees in particular.
Any other thoughts?
Because it seems sort of faculty focused.
It's not all faculty focused. The biggest focus of the Middle State, because it looks at everything, looks at the administration and how the university is run, but the biggest focus is on student evaluation. And that's what they'll be scrutinizing the most, I think.
Right, so interesting. Is it interesting, but how does it affect the employee assembly?
The section on students will be interesting, but won't affect the EA. Other pieces, like university governance, will affect us, and I was on that committee, the university governance committee, and basically we looked at the structure of what we have now and ways, you know, pros and cons, and ways to make it better, and there were some observations that were generated that I think are interesting and would affect the EA.
So if we have them come, we would ask them to focus on that piece a little more heavily than
any piece they think affects employees.
And I would say that for the student assessment pieces, that for those of us who work in student services, it does affect us directly because it shifts the way that we do our work. And we've been moving in that direction, but very slowly, and this is forcing the issue. So it is... it's a significant component of the work of student services people and has caused enormous stress for a lot of student services staff.
I would like to see some information on the front end before they come so we can have some semblance of preparation instead of them having come, present, check this thing off their list and move on, because that's how different it felt like last year. We have this on our list, we're doing this. It seemed like a really odd fit to me. So put it, if we had some stuff on the front end that, you know, we get a chance to read it or try to understand why it's important that they come to us, I think it'd be more interesting. Sort of in a related note on the Mary visiting us, I think, you know, we need to be invitational as much as possible to staff. I mean, these meetings are open to staff. And I think when the Vice President of HR is coming to employee assembly, we should invite staff to attend.
I want to add something to it. It was very informative and helpful, although I didn't remember in detail. And what I remember was Ms. Susan Murphy was there, Vice President.
When the Middle State came?
Yeah, and that was good enough, I think, to know, getting full information. So I'm glad to have this kind of
Mary and also the president's address. I'm going to be more involved with the conference as well as with the Chronicle, so getting the word out to the conference for Mary should be easy. I also do the things too that the Chronicle does, so both for the president's address and staff, and for any other things that you might do in your colleges or units that have a general cross-campus appeal, and that I would, ask to the staff, but again, over here at the school shop, certainly should be in mind for that. And in all likelihood, I'd be covering the president's address and staff.
Can I ask a question that came up when we met with Mary yesterday? She told us that Tommy said that the paw print is making some, what sounded like big changes, but didn't know what they were.
Does anyone here know what they are?
No, but I do. I am in the place that we will probably be asking you for your thoughts. I'm sort of new but sort of old to paw printed publication. Tommy, the thing that I can tell you for sure that we know, which is not much, we are committed to making sure that staff who do not have computers have access to paw print. We are committed to paw print. Tommy believes in it as a brand. He believes in that it has recognition across campus. He wants to keep that recognition. He wants it to, well, the best example I can give is 2 or 3 weeks ago, all of my articles that I do for the Cornell Chronicle, my main feed is HR, and so it makes sense for my articles to show up in both paw print and in the Chronicle. But like 3 weeks ago, we had 4 or 5 benefits things happening, and so my name was on practically every article in paw print. This doesn't look good. There's more to paw print than my articles. But other than that, yes, thinking things through again and thinking through how all communications are going and what are the best, most effective ways of getting to people. But nothing's going to happen without there being, he wants any changes to be done right, which means he wants to get information and feedback from the various people who see both stakeholders.
I was going to add, I don't know if this was about changes specifically to conference operations or just changes to, because university communications has significantly changed the way it's handling publications in general. Just organizationally, some things have been moved around and basically they've created an area that's trying to better coordinate how the university's message is distributed in all of the periodicals that are produced. The Ezra magazine, Cornell Chronicle and conference, so I don't know. It might have been about that, because that just happened in the last, well, it was just now.
He made it sound like something was different in conference.
She was specifically talking about conference.
I don't know. From leadership practice, my takeaway is there was strong opinions both ways, but there wasn't complete opposite with the Chronicle and the conference and Mary again.
I'm not aware of any proposal to do that.
Yeah, I think we're way too early in talks. I think people's thoughts are primarily how do we get more word out better to staff about the things that interest staff. So that's the question, and I don't think that there's a particular answer that has come down.
Right.
But there has been quite a bit, as already said, in terms of university communications overall structure. So now the Chronicle and Paul Trent and Ezra, and I think it's the parents' newsletter, they're all seen as publications. So if they're like people who know how to write and produce publications, are probably not the same people who do events as a parishioner. And so, you know, so how do you then get the synergies between that? So that, you know, if you want the word out, you don't have to go spread the systems of the place.
Alright, we have...
So you will know more from me,
because
I will be here.
Okay, excellent. We have 2 minutes left. Does anyone have anything they want to cover?
Really quick, the First University Assembly meeting is at 4:30 today.
Yeah.
I, at this point, have no directives from this body to bring up at that meeting formally, other than to say that you are actively formed and take care of employee issues. I did know in your meeting minutes that... You want to be an active voice for the staff at Cornell, and your goals would be to enlarge the EA and increase the visibility. I'll be sensitive for things that can help with that. I assume the purpose is to be a more representative voice, the purpose not being stated in the minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something you want to consider, you know, your rationale for doing it, because that buys into why academic staff should give you the time to be at these meetings and the whole thing. We are considering today bylaws and charter changes that have been worked on all summer. Some of these revisions are pretty significant. I certainly won't cover them now, but if passed, and I think something very similar to what we have now will be passed with some minor administrative tweaks, it will clarify and strengthen the authority of the University Assembly. That rests upon the fact that we believe the constituent assemblies, the Faculty Senate, the Employee Assembly, the graduate and undergraduate bodies, are representing their constituents well and feeding in, and likewise we feeding back out, things that need to be addressed or counterweighted for the university because we think they're heading in the wrong way, or in some cases things have not been as open, you know, these kinds of concerns. So I'm one of four of your representatives. Feel free to send things to one or all of us. We'll make sure that they get brought up as appropriate. And I guess I need to formally know, do you have any charges for me for my meeting later today or in the near future for the university assembly?
Not at the moment, just what you said you were going to bring forth.
Okay.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. Second.
Great. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.